Blog Talk Radio.
Here is Darkwa, Orleans Darkwa, who led this team in yards per carry during the preseason, good for seven. Darkwa again. Players around the country are Googling Orleans Darkwa. He'll be on everybody's fantasy team next week.
Were you Googling Orleans Darkwa's name on Sunday afternoon? You have to admit, he did look good, but is he going to get enough touches in the Giants' crowded backfield? Arian Foster, he's done for the season with a torn Achilles, but he made sure that he played long enough just to kick my butt before he exited the game. What did I ever do to him? I mean, I don't know. But we've got a lot of waiver wire moves to consider for Week 8. We'll do it together. I am Joe Gulino! And it's just a fantasy sports show starts right now. Just a quick aside here, because he has no fantasy value whatsoever, but Ryan Mallett, he was the Texans quarterback for a few games, got ticked when his poor play caused his coaches to bench him, showed them up on the field, and then he goes and misses the team flight to Miami this past weekend. Maybe he gets a job somewhere, but hopefully it's not on a football field. Some of these athletes don't appreciate how good they have it. I mean, you have policemen, firemen, teachers. I mean, you who are listening out there, right? I mean, most of you get up and have to go to work every morning, maybe at a job that you hate, just to earn a paycheck, and these athletes get paid for playing a game. Now, don't get me wrong, because professional athletes get paid well because they have a skill that few in the world can do, and also because their teams and their leagues make tons of money. But what about the players who get the second and third chances, like Dallas defensive end Greg Hardy, a very, very good defensive player, found guilty of assaulting a female, given another chance by the NFL after serving his suspension. We find out he missed a practice last week for Dallas. Dallas gave him, you know, another chance, signed him to a contract. He didn't call the team when he missed the practice this week, and it's really nothing new. According to Ole Miss and Panthers coaches, this is the type of behavior that you just have to put up with when you coach Hardy, and they do put up with it, right? And of course, the national TV audience saw his tirade after the Cowboys special teams unit gave up a touchdown to the Giants on Sunday. I mean, you either love this guy because you think he can inspire the players around him, or you can consider him a disruptive force. He was arguing with Dez Bryant, right, that Dallas's best receiver, right? He knocked the clipboard out of a coach's hand. I mean, don't tell him I said this because I don't want him mad at me. He looks like a real tough guy. But look, this guy's been given a second chance to get paid a lot of money to play a game. He needs to get his act together, okay? So there, I got that off my chest. How'd you do in Week 7? Well, I went 1-2, won a couple bucks on the DFS side, nothing too crazy, but so I am 6-1, 4-3, and a lonely 2-5 in my season-long leagues. That 2-5 team is flawed, obviously. My quarterback, Matt Ryan, has had a rough time of it, 6-18-10 fantasy points in his last three games. He's going up against the Bucs this week. They give up 19.8 points per game to quarterbacks, and I also have Eli Manning on my bench on that same team. Drafted him, but haven't started him yet. I think I offered him to the guy in my league who had Big Ben, you know, when Roethlisberger got hurt, but he just wasn't interested. Eli plays the Saints this week, who give up an average of 20.4 fantasy points to quarterbacks. So both these guys are actually decent starts. The Saints aren't as invincible at home over the past couple of seasons as they were in the past. Eli has had 8-6 fantasy points in his last two games. I guess I'm just going to have to mold this one over. Ryan's home, Eli is on the road, and I'm just going to have to do my research, check how they fare against their respective opponents. I'm just telling you this because all of us fantasy football managers, owners, whatever you want to call us, players, have the same problems with our lineups and rosters as you, all right? Whether you're Scott the King Angle or ESPN's Matthew Berry or me or you, we all have these kind of issues with our fantasy teams. I mean, on that same team, I own Eddie Lacy and James Starks, the running backs for the Packers. I mean, who do I start, right? Lacy has been slumping. The Packers say that Starks is going to see more touches. I mean, I'm probably going Lacy, but I never thought I'd be faced with this situation when I made my first pick, Eddie Lacy, right? By the way, the Packers play the Broncos, so it could be a tough matchup for either one of those guys. On that same fantasy team of mine, I have Melvin Gordon and Brandon Oliver, running backs for the Chargers. Who am I starting there? I mean, I'm thinking Oliver. He had a decent day, especially catching balls out of the backfield. Danny Wood had left him actually some balls to catch after catching 11 catches for 75 yards himself. Oliver caught 6 passes for 39 yards. So, I mean, he's a good option even in your PPR league. So we've all got tough choices to make, and I do feel your pain. But I've spoken too much. Let's get to our waiver wire moves. Remember, we have another 4 teams on a bye this week, the Bills, Eagles, Jaguars, and Redskins. So if you're looking for quarterbacks, the Texans signal caller Brian Hoyer has been averaging just under 20 fantasy points per game since taking over the starting job, and the Texans are averaging just about 50 pass attempts per game. Rams quarterback Nick Foles hasn't done much since week 4, but he's got the 49ers as his opponent this week. They give up just over 18 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, but you really have to be desperate to pick him up. Maybe instead grab Jets quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's got a favorable matchup against the Raiders, and the Vikings have been a bit stingy against opposing quarterbacks, but Jay Cutler has been scoring some fantasy points over the past 3 weeks, just under 18. And he might be there for you on your waiver wire. What do you think about streaming Matthew Stafford this week? He's in London playing against the soft secondary, the Chiefs. It'll be interesting to see what kind of offensive game plan the Lions put in place now that offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi has been sent packing. And back to that Bears-Vikings matchup, I'll mention Teddy Bridgewater that might have a decent matchup against the Bears. And how about that Stephon Diggs, huh? So are you going to pick up Orleans Darkwa? Well, he had a great few minutes of the second quarter on Sunday. 8 carries, the touchdown. But Shane Vereen got some carries. Rashard Jennings got some carries. Andre Williams got some carries. I mean, you get the picture here. Darkwa looked good in the preseason and obviously has some talent. Might even carve himself a bigger chunk of the Giants running game. Just don't do anything dumb and drop anyone too valuable for him. I mean, if you have a second-team defense that you've been carrying, fine, drop them. I mean, if you want to drop them for a guy like a Bishop Sankey, Titans running back, go for it. But don't do anything rash, okay, when you're dropping somebody to pick up Orleans. I've mentioned on this podcast how frustrating the running back position can be for fantasy managers. I mean, now in Dallas, it looks like Darren McFadden looks like the guy to own right now. I mean, Joseph Randall has a back issue. Christian Michael hasn't been able to stake a claim. He might be already owned in many leagues, but if he isn't, then grab McFadden and then expect him to get hurt in a week or two because that's just the way he rolls, right? And then you know who becomes valuable again? That's right, Christian Michael. Chris Ivory, Jets running back, has some nagging injuries, including tightness in his quad. That's obviously affecting his performance. Zach Stacy might see some more touches and could be available on your waiver wire. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, Texans running back Arian Foster is out for the rest of the season. You just have to feel bad for this guy, right? And you also feel bad for the fantasy manager. And there are plenty of you out there who drafted him thinking, hey, once he's healthy enough to return, I'll have a back. Is going to give me late first round to middle second round production.
Sorry, Charlie.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, things just didn't work out, and everyone is asking, should they pick up Alfred Blue or Chris Polk? I mean, I'm not crazy about either running back, either option, but if my back was up against the wall, I'd go with Blue. He had some real bad weeks as the Texans' lead back. But while you were waiting for Foster to recuperate, he just didn't do anything. But in the week prior to Foster's return, he did rush for over 100 yards. He had one productive week all season. I always figured he'd do a good job because Blue
needed the money.
Or at least that's what I've heard. I mean, I hope this guy Blue never retires because I just love playing that clip. But Blue is bad and Polk is worse. And by the way, I took some heat for telling you people.
What do you mean, you people?
you know, I mean, all of you people out there that are listening to me out there in podcast land, but I got a lot of grief for telling you to drop Jonathan Stewart. I mean, look, I know he rushed for 125 yards last week. Of course, we're talking about the Panthers running back. That was his first 100-yard game for the year. But he had two touchdowns, vultured by fullback Mike Tolbert last week, right? And look, you have to admit, it took a lot of guts for me to tell you to just get rid of him the week after he had scored two touchdowns. That was in week six. But you know what? I still don't like him on your team. I don't like him on my team. Nothing personal, but this might be the time to sell high on Jonathan Stewart. Look, week six, two touchdowns. Week seven, no touchdowns, but 125 yards on the ground. I'll say it again, get rid of him. Lions running back Theo Riddick and Browns running back Duke Johnson Jr. are both two names you should be familiar with. And if there's a chance that they're still in your league's waiver wire and you're playing a PPR league, grab them. I think you'll have a better chance of finding Dexter McCluster on your league's waiver wire. The Titans running back is also a good option in PPR leagues. I saw some people starting to make a move on Titans running back David Cobb, who's eligible to come off short-term injury reserve in week nine. So that's not a bad move since the Titans don't really have a featured back. No one's made a move really to establish themselves there. But again, a move like that is purely speculative. And if you have a dead roster spot, might make some sense for you. I told you about my Chargers running back situation. If Brandon Oliver is on your waiver wire and you have a need, I think he's a decent option going forward. We also talked about my Packers, running back dilemma. He's probably not going to be there for you, but if he is, pick up James Starks. Highly unlikely he's going to be there, but just you never know. On Sunday's show, I mentioned Patriots wide receiver Danny Amendola as a type of a dark horse. And look, I can't get into Belichick's head, but if I had to guess who's going to get the most looks on the receiving side of New England going forward, it's obviously Gronk, Edelman, and believe it or not, I'm going with Amendola. I mean, he was targeted nine times, caught eight of them for 86 yards, added a touchdown, another nine targets in week six. Seven catches, 105 yards. I mean, his biggest problem across his career has been his health and staying in the game, right? Seems obvious, but I would latch on to a fantasy player who might not have yet reached their peak. As long as they're part of an explosive offense, and the Patriots certainly do have an explosive offense, right? I had mentioned in my last podcast how Falcons wide receiver Leonard Hankerson's 15 minutes of fame are up. I mean, you should consider adding Roddy White. I mean, don't expect the Roddy White from a few years back, but I think you're going to have to start see him getting more involved in the Falcons offense. Hankerson is hurt, and look, they're going to pass the ball some. I know that Devonta Freeman is just running wild, but still, they're going to have to pass the ball a little bit more, and White's going to be involved going forward. But obviously, Julio Jones is the man there, right? Bengals are back from their bye, and if wide receiver Marvin Jones has been forgotten by your league mates, remind them and pick him up. Because this guy, I keep on telling you, he's a guy that just is a red zone target, right? Scores a lot of touchdowns. Nate Washington had himself a big week. Yes, it was in garbage time. We're talking about the Texans wide receiver. Dolphins had already spanked the Texans pretty good. But with Cecil Shorts having a hamstring issue and the Texans running game in shambles, Washington might be a nice ad for you and get some targets going forward. Check out Robert Woods as a deep ad. The Bills wide receivers going to be on a bye this week. But all the injuries surrounding the Bills, you know, the Sammy Watkins and Percy Harvin, Woods can continue to get some targets down the stretch. He had a nice week, week seven, nine catches, 84 yards and a touchdown. And the Chiefs wide receiver Chris Conley is someone that you could look to as a speculative ad. He had a good week seven. No guarantees he'll have a good week eight, but he does have talent and a matchup against the Lions who give up just over 24 points, fantasy points to wide receivers. And if Jeremy Maclin doesn't play this week, then there's obviously a better chance that Conley's going to get some looks. So that's the speculative ad based on how Maclin progresses with his injury. Tight ends, Eric Ebron finally came through for the Lions. Five catches for 89 yards. Like I said, it's going to be interesting to see how the Lions offense reacts to having had their offensive coordinator fired this past week. Jordan Reed is on a bye. Talk about the tight end for the Redskins. Sometimes that's the best time to grab someone off the waiver wire if you have a spot on your bench. And Ladarius Green for the Chargers might see some action this week since Antonio Gates has a sprained MCL. Now, I need you to get on the waiver wire. Do some homework. Stop listening to me. We're taping this show on Tuesday evening. It's about 7:30. I know you might be distracted by the World Series. This is the best time to work the waiver wire. When everyone's watching the World Series and they're not paying attention to what's going on in the world of fantasy football. Check me out on Twitter, at Joe Gallina, at J-O-E-G-A-L-L-I-N-A. Also, find me on the rotoexperts.com website. Sign up for their in-season NFL exclusive package. Remember, the promo code radio gets you a discount. And as always, I urge you to keep moving straight ahead. And if you do, your fantasies have a shot of turning into realities. I am Joe Gallina. And thanks for listening to It's Just a Fantasy Sports Show. We'll be back with you on Saturday.